Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, July 12, 2018. And with me today, I have Andrew Orr. How are you, Andrew?
Hey, I'm doing good. Good to be here.
Great to have you here. John Martellaro, I'm glad you're here. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to be here, too.
Awesome. And we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is Jamf Now. We will talk about them soon. But we need to just dive right in because Apple had announcements today. And the big announcement is new MacBook Pro models, Touch Bar MacBook Pro models. So the 13 and the 15-inch Touch Bar MacBook Pro both got updates today. And so the quick rundown is that now they can have up to 32 gigs of RAM. They ship with 6-core Intel Core i7 processors by default, or you can do a build-your-own option for a Core i9 processor. You can... The base model comes with 256 gig SSD, but you can get up to a 4 terabyte SSD, and they come with the Radeon Pro 555X or 560X graphic cards, 4 gigs of RAM, and then all the other specs that you would expect are there. You know, the Thunderbolt 3 ports, Wi-Fi, 802.11ac, Bluetooth 5. Yeah, so all of that. New keyboard design. That kind of makes me happy. And still available in silver and space gray. And I don't think the price has changed. The base 2.2 gigahertz model for the 15-inch is $2,399. The base 2.6 gigahertz model, so these are both Core i7s, are $2,799. The 13-inch Touch Bar MacBook Pro sticks with quad-core Intel Core i5 or Core i7 processors.
Sticks with. Now, this is new, right, Jeff? We didn't have a quad-core 13-inch before.
I thought the 15-inch...
13.
Or excuse me, the 13-inch Touch Bar was quad-core.
I'm pretty sure the 13-inch never had a quad-core processor.
I know the version with the without the Touch Bar definitely was dual-core. So what we're going to do right now is fire up Mac Tracker because that's the bomb. It's got all the details. It is.
Folks, if you don't have Mac Tracker, it's a free download. You can contribute if you wish. But it's just essential.
So MacBook Pro 13-inch... 2017. Let's look at the specs. All right. So it says general. Let's see. Current price, color, processor. Intel Core i5 or Core i7 Kaby Lake. So
it doesn't tell us whether it's dual core.
No,
or
but we do have the part numbers.
I did some shopping a while back, and I'm pretty sure I was upset that I couldn't get a quad-core 13-inch. I think there was a heat issue.
Maybe. All right. So, but you could get a Core i7 processor in that thing. And was the Core i7 available in a dual-core configuration, or was that only 4-core?
I'm not sure.
And see, Andrew, he's the smart one because he's just staying quiet through this part.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, number of physical cores from Passmark 2.
All right. Well, then there you go. This is the first time the 13-inch model has had a quad-core option.
So I noticed that there was a 2015 model that was discontinued. Is that a Touch Bar or non-Touch Bar model?
Non-Touch Bar. So the 2015 model, that's the one that had the Thunderbolt 2 ports and traditional USB-A shaped ports and That one had the MagSafe 2 connector on it. So it was the last model Apple made before switching over to the USB-C style ports.
Oh, okay. Because it kind of sounds like they're slowly trying to wean us off the non-touch bar models and push us towards touch bar. If only they got updated.
Yeah, or it could be that Apple is looking at this as a necessary update for the Pro line, because the lack of a 32 gigabyte RAM option was something that Apple has said they didn't want to do when they first introduced the touch bar, but they were limited by the processors that they had at the time and power consumption.
Okay.
So now that they can give us a 32 gigabyte option, they're doing it.
Extra $400.
Yeah. Well, if I were in the market today to buy a brand new laptop, I would be looking at the top of the line 15-inch touch bar.
Yeah, I think 32 gig is the way to go nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have trouble with my 16 gig that's in my first generation touch bar, but man, I would really like to have 32 gigs of RAM in this thing, because you can't upgrade memory.
Yep. So get all the memory you can from the get-go. I think Apple ruled these two machines out today just to annoy John Martellaro. Because yesterday I wrote that I was hoping and thinking that there would be a Mac event in which several different Macs would be rolled out. The new MacBooks, as Min-Chao Kuo talked about, maybe a replacement for the MacBook Air, low cost. Be kind of nice to have a Mac event, wouldn't it? But this is the first dribble of a series of Macs, evidently, sort of quietly rolled out without an event.
Yeah, I'm curious if the no event thing is because Apple just didn't want to do an event, like they didn't think it was that big of a deal, although 32 gigs of RAM in a MacBook Pro, that's a pretty big deal at this point.
Well, we expected them at WWDC, kind of, but we understand why there was no time at WWDC keynote to introduce these machines, and maybe they weren't quite ready. And also, probably everybody at Apple's burned out after WWDC only a month ago.
Right. Yeah. And we still haven't seen any other Mac updates this year. So it was a very welcome surprise this morning when I got up and Apple said, hey, new laptops.
So this is the third product announcement in all of 2018. In February, we had the HomePod officially. In March, we had the new education iPad. And this is only the third new product in 2018 for Apple.
Well, if we look at WWDC, they did announce...
Hardware, I mean.
Oh, hardware. Okay. Then that's...
Yeah.
Yep. So this is...
We want hardware. We're hungry for hardware.
We are clearly hungry for hardware. Yeah.
Stephen Colbert would say, hungry for hardware.
Yeah. Oh. You know, I'm going to interrupt us for a second, because we do need to talk about our sponsor, Jamf, now. And if you're looking to get yourself a new MacBook Pro, maybe, and you want to keep track of everything that's on that computer, its serial number, its operating system version, specs, all of that, and you also have an iPhone or an iPad, or maybe both, and you want to keep track of everything for those as well and manage those devices from a single interface, Jamf now is the bomb, because it lets you do that for all of your macOS and iOS devices, and it makes it wonderfully easy. Like if you have a family or a small business or medium-sized business or whatever, you have a business and you need to push out standardized settings to all of the devices that your employees are using, or you have email settings that you don't want people to have to try and put in manually, no problem. You put that stuff into Jamf now and then just push it out to the devices. And if someone should lose one of their devices, their iPhone, their iPad, their Mac, whatever, and it's just gone. You know, maybe it's lost, maybe it's stolen. You can brick that thing right through Jamf now. So you can wipe it and lock it down so it's nothing more than a fancy looking slab of glass and metal. And that's pretty awesome. Also awesome is the price. First three devices that you have in your account are free for life. And if you pull one device out, you can put another one in. It's still three devices. It's still free for life. If you need to have more devices, then it's cheap. It's only $2 per device per month. So it's an economical way to have control over the Mac and iOS devices that you're using every day, that your business is using every day. And if you are using this like I am with my family, $2 a month per device, it is the cheapest family insurance policy and happiness policy I've ever had. So I put my parents' iPhones, iPads, and Mac into my Jamf Now account. And when they have trouble, typically it's something like my dad says, I didn't touch anything, but my email doesn't work. I will just push his email settings back out to him, and it magically works again. So I don't know what he's not touching, but there you go. I get him back up and in business right away. So what you can do is head over to their website, jamf.com/TDO. That's jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account, and it's always free. And those first three devices that you have, up to three devices, that is free as well. So go get your account, start managing your devices, jamf.com/TDO. And thank you, Jamf, for being our sponsor today. Okay, now we can hop back to it. So the whole thing with the touch bar, which Andrew, you brought up a few minutes ago, I'm curious, does it seem weird to you that we're still at a place where the only computer that has a touch bar is the MacBook Pro?
Yeah. I mean, I've been seeing some discussions about whether Apple is fully committed to the touch bar or not, and I think they are. But yeah, I mean, adding it to the iMac Pro on a Bluetooth keyboard would make sense, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. It seems like a really weird omission to not see the touch bar on the keyboard for the iMac Pro.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't think they would add it directly to the iMac, because, I mean, that would be awkward, you know, reaching your hand up and everything, and Apple is saying no on touchscreens, so the keyboard would be, I think, a logical step.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, it's really weird to not see it. I like the touch bar. What I don't like is that it's only on the MacBook Pro, which means that you need to either find a developer that thinks it's just that cool and wants to code stuff for it, or you need to find a developer that's willing to invest the resources to support a hardware feature that's on a small subset of Apple's computers.
I have a theory. Yeah.
Okay, John.
I think that it hasn't been adopted as much as Apple thought it would be, and they're trying to save face by continuing with it. So the real acid test will be when the next generation of MacBooks comes out, because if Apple's rationalizing that the touch bar is really best used on a portable, on a laptop, then seeing whether they implement it in their new MacBooks will tell us whether Apple thinks it's a thing, or whether they're just decided, we're only going to put it on the MacBook Pro because that's the only real place it needs to be. And so we're waffling.
Yeah. You know, I could see the touch bar as a Pro Mac feature. So then you have it on the MacBook Pro, you put it on the iMac Pro keyboard, and then you also put it on the Mac Pro keyboard. And now you have that differentiating feature from the non-Pro product line. So you don't have it on the keyboard that ships with an iMac, and it won't be on the MacBook. I could see Apple doing something like that. However, I would expect to see that implemented on more than just the Mac Pro or MacBook Pro by now.
I remember a discussion, I think it was on TDO with Brian, if I recall correctly. And the point is that when you have a MacBook Pro, you're using Apple's keyboard. But on a desktop system, if they shipped a touch bar on their custom keyboard and somebody didn't want to use Apple's keyboard, or the keyboard broke for a period of time while they got a replacement, they'd be using another keyboard. And a desktop system is precisely the place where you tend to have your own keyboard. And so forcing desktop users to have their own, to have Apple's own keyboard would be a little awkward. It's not awkward on a portable.
I don't think it would be that much different from what we see today. I mean, when you buy an iMac and iMac Pro, it comes with a keyboard and a mouse or a trackpad. So Apple's expecting people are going to use the keyboard and pointing device that the computer ships with, and yet so many people swap them out for others. I don't think it would be that much different. You would just lose your touch bar if you did that. But assuming that everyone with a MacBook Pro or MacBook is using the built-in keyboard all the time is also wrong. Like for me, I use a keyboard connected via USB, and I'm doing almost all my typing on an external keyboard. And I know a lot of people that use their MacBook Pros in open lid mode and have like Apple's Bluetooth keyboard because they just want a bigger keyboard with a number pad on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's why I think the touch bar is mildly doomed. And Apple's just continuing with it until they decide what they're going to do next.
Here's my conundrum. I really like the touch bar. But I don't use it a lot because my MacBook Pro tends to be in closed lid mode. And I'm using an external keyboard. When I'm out and about using the built-in keyboard, I'll use the touch bar. Like it's just a very natural thing for me to do. But if Apple took the touch bar off the MacBook Pro, even though I really like it, I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah, it's kind of folded into the product by now. They've got economies of scale. It's kind of customary. It's going to stay there for a while. But whether it migrates out to the other systems and MOS, I doubt it.
Then it's a dead feature.
Yeah.
Because developers aren't, generally speaking, interested in supporting that feature for that computer when they could spend their coding resources on features that everyone can use. Yeah.
Like I said, they're temporarily in face-saving mode and trying to decide what to do next.
Well, I do like, though, 32 gigs of RAM and the Coffee Lake 6-core processors. That's really sweet. And also a redesigned keyboard. What I'm hoping is when I take my MacBook Pro in to get its keyboard replaced again, that the keyboard that they're putting in the new MacBook Pro is what they put into mine.
That'd be nice.
Oh, I doubt it.
So
probably not in the repair chain yet.
I doubt it as well.
Yeah. One can dream.
And I guess that means I just need to go ahead and bite the bullet and take my computer in to get another keyboard put in it.
Or you could recycle it and buy one of the new ones.
Yeah, I could. But it would be a lot cheaper for me to let Apple replace my keyboard under AppleCare. Maybe they would just replace the whole computer. There's possibly some other motherboard issues on mine. Well, a boy can dream. Anyhow, we are out of time, so we need to wrap up. Andrew, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You bet. Nice to be here.
It's great to have both of you. I'm also glad that Jamf now is our sponsor this week. Head over to the website, jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO, and get your free account so you can start managing your Macs, your iPhones, your iPads from an easy-to-use unified interface. It's really slick and it's really cool. Listeners, I am so glad that you are here. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again tomorrow.